of the truth. What images do we hold of ourselves, of our spiritual life, of others? Are all these images and ideas who we really are? Is this our true nature? Liberation comes not as a process of self-improvement, of perfecting the body or personality. Instead, in living a spiritual life, we are challenged to discover another way of seeing, rather than seeing with our usual images, ideals, and hopes. We learn to see with the heart, which loves, rather than with the mind, which compares and defines. This is a radical way of being that takes us beyond perfection. It is as if our spiritual practice, with its ups and downs, can be held in the heart of the Buddha. From this perspective, all can be included as our practice. Spiritual attainment is not the result of special esoteric knowledge, the study of great texts and sutras, and the systematic learning of great works of religion. Nor is it found in the realm of control or power. It doesn't attach to things being a certain way, and it holds no blame. It involves neither the control over another person, nor even control of ourselves. It stems rather from an abundant wisdom of heart. The wisdom of the heart can be found in any circumstance, on any planet, round or square. It arises not through knowledge or images of perfection, or by comparison and judgment, but simply by seeing with the eyes of wisdom and the heart of loving attention, by touching with compassion all that exists in our world. The wisdom of the heart is here, just now, at any moment. It has always been here, and it is never too late to find it. The wholeness and freedom we seek is our own true nature, who we really are. Whenever we start a spiritual practice, read a spiritual book, or contemplate what it means to live well, we have begun the inevitable process of opening to this truth, the truth of life itself. Spiritual practice inevitably brings us face to face with the profound mystery of our own identity. We have taken birth in a human body. What is this force that gives us life, brings us and the world into form? The world's great spiritual teachings tell us over and over we are not who we think we are. Persian mystics say we are sparks of the divine, and Christian mystics say we are filled with God. We are one with all things, say others. Buddhist texts describe how consciousness itself creates the world like a dream or a mirage. Modern accounts of near-death experiences are filled with reports of wonderful ease after leaving the body, of golden light and luminous beings. Perhaps these, too, confirm how we are unaware of our true identity most of the time. When we look into the question of self and identity in spiritual practice, we find it requires us to understand two distinct dimensions of self, selflessness and true self. Let us consider selflessness first. When the Buddha confronted the question of identity on the night of his enlightenment, he came to the radical discovery that we do not exist as separate beings. He saw into the human tendency to identify with a limited sense of existence, and discovered that this belief in an individual small self is a root illusion that causes suffering and removes us from the freedom and mystery of life. He described this as interdependent arising, the cyclical process of consciousness creating identity by entering form, responding to contact of the senses, then attaching to certain forms, feelings, desires, images, and actions to create a sense of self. In teaching, the Buddha never spoke of humans as persons existing in some fixed or static way. Instead, he described us as a collection of five changing processes: the process of the physical body, of feelings, of perceptions, of responses, and of the flow of consciousness that experiences them all. Our sense of self arises whenever we grasp at or identify with these patterns. We can identify with our body, our feelings, or thoughts. We can identify with images, patterns, roles, and archetypes. To the extent that we grasp these false identities, we continually have to protect and defend ourselves, strive to fulfill what is limited or deficient in them, to fear their loss. Yet these are not our true identity. But what is? And when Christian texts speak of losing the self in God, when Taoists and Hindus speak of merging with a true self beyond all identity, when Buddhists speak of emptiness and of no self, what do they mean? In Buddhism, emptiness refers to the underlying non-separation of life and the fertile ground of energy that gives rise to all forms of life. Our world and sense of self is a play of patterns. Any identity we can grasp is transient, tentative. There are many ways in which we can realize the emptiness of self. When we are silent and attentive, we can sense directly how nothing in the world can be truly possessed by us. Clearly, we do not possess outer things. We are in some relationship with our cars, our home, our family, our jobs, but whatever that relationship is, it is ours only for a short time. In the end, things, people, or tasks die or change or we lose them. Nothing is exempt. When we bring attention to any moment of experience, we discover that we do not possess it either. As we look, we find that we neither invite our thoughts nor own them. We might even wish them to stop, but our thoughts seem to think themselves, arising and passing according to their nature. The same is true of our feelings. They arise by themselves as the breath breathes itself, as sounds sound themselves. Our body, too, follows its own laws. The body which we carry is a bag of bones and fluid that cannot be possessed. It ages, gets sick, or changes in ways we might not wish it to, all according to its own nature. The more we look, in fact, the more deeply we see that we possess nothing within or without. We encounter another aspect of the emptiness of self when we notice how everything arises out of nothing, comes out of the void, returns to the void, goes back to nothing. All our words of the past day have disappeared. All the moments of history, our own and the world's, are gone. All experience arises in the present, does its dance, and disappears. Experience comes into being only tentatively, for a little time, in a certain form. Then that form ends, and a new form replaces it, moment by moment. As we open and empty ourselves, we come to experience an interconnectedness. The realization that all things are joined and conditioned in an interdependent arising. Each experience and event contains all others. The teacher depends on the student. The airplane depends on the sky. When a bell rings, is it the bell we hear, the air, the sound at our ears, or is it our brain that rings? It is all of these things. As the Taoists say, the between is ringing. The sound of the bell is here to be heard everywhere, in the eyes of every person we meet, in every tree and insect, in every breath we take. As we said before, there are two parallel tasks in spiritual life. One is to discover selflessness. The other is to develop a healthy sense of self, to discover what is meant by true self. Both sides of this apparent paradox must be fulfilled for us to awaken. In trying to show how to approach this paradox, Jack Engler, the Buddhist teacher and psychologist at Harvard, put it this way: you must be somebody before you can be nobody. By this he means that a strong and healthy sense of self is needed to withstand the meditative process of dissolution and come to a deep realization of emptiness.